Everybody, I am so excited to have Marcus Hall with us today. Marcus Hall leads Mark Nelson Denim, an incredible shop that has blessed me a couple times. So Marcus, I'm excited about this conversation today just because, man, what God's done in your life is remarkable. So will you just share with us a little bit of the story of your journey with the Lord and all that God's brought you through?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to share my story with you today, and thank you for your support and coming down to the shop and letting me outfit you and get you looking good on Sunday. So thank you. All right.
There's so many times that Bridget, my wife Bridget's like, ask Marcus about that before you wear it outside. So anyway, bro, we're thankful for you.
Right on,
yeah, it's good, man.
I'm thankful to be here.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. We talked several times, and me growing my fellowship and my relationship with God, I often call you for, like, you call me for style, and I call you for inspiration and the spirit and walking with God. Yeah. So I grew up in the church. My grandmother was Presbyterian. Mm-hmm. My great-grandmother was Baptist, and my mom was also Baptist. But she wanted to be a pastor, and in that day, a female couldn't be a pastor, a head pastor, so she went to holiness.
Yeah.
And so I had quite a mixture of different experiences in the church. Yeah. So growing up with my mother, it was a bit extreme, but we went to church from dawn to dusk, almost 7 days a week, and you know, she did the speaking in tongue and the screaming, and so it was confusing for me as I became older and into a teenager and an adult. I didn't know what to follow or what I was, what my relationship with God was. And then I kind of took the road of a bad kid. I kind of, raised myself.
Yeah.
I left my mom's house. I started staying with my father, who was in the streets, per se. You know what I mean? I had a stepmother and a brother, but my father left and never came back. Mm-hmm. So I stayed with them and ended up the last 3 years of high school basically raising myself.
Wow.
Yeah. That was interesting. Mm-hmm. After getting evicted a couple times, learning the hard way, got a job and started cutting hair right out of high school.
Okay.
From there, opened a barbershop and was in a barber chair cutting guys' hair. And what happened was a guy would come into the salon or barbershop and say, "Hey, man, be on his phone. I've got some drugs, you know anybody that wants some?" And then 2 hours later, a guy would come in the shop, sit in the chair and go on his phone, "Man, I'm looking for, some weed or whatever. So you know anybody that I can talk to about that or whatever?" And so eventually I'll put A and B together and goes, "Why don't I make the connection myself?" And there you go. Mm-hmm. Started selling drugs at the age of 21.
Wow.
Did that for about 2 years and then actually got caught up in a conspiracy, drug conspiracy. Went to boot camp, which I was fortunate enough to do, which was a year program.
Yeah.
And basically it was like the military.
Wow.
You do that training, you wake up, you march, you run, you make your bed, you go out and you work the fields. Again, was fortunate enough to get by and get out of prison within a year for that particular charge. Came home and opened up another business, went back into the hair salon business and opened up two.
Yeah.
And then eventually, temptation came about, but instead of being drugs this time, it was gambling.
Mm.
An old mentor of mine at the time, and I talk about this often, about how in the inner city community, kids, the people they look up to are drug dealers or people that are doing some kind of illegal activity, and there's not a lot of positive mentorship or guidance.
Yeah.
Had a guy come to me and goes, "You need to get into the gambling business. That'll get less time, less trouble, and nobody gives a care about the gambling business." And so actually did that and was successful in doing that for about 10 or 12 years.
Wow.
Everything came to a final ending. But I actually took that money that I made and started my business, which helped me gain capital. But again, the IRS didn't appreciate that at all. I mean, running an illegal gambling operation and came in and basically froze all my accounts and took basically everything that I made, and actually had to go back to prison.
Yeah.
I was sentenced to a 33-month prison sentence, and was fortunate enough again, God looked out for me and got into a program called RDAP. And RDAP was basically the changing of my life.
Wow.
But I want to talk more about my relationship with God in this scenario. So there was a point that I'd reached with success that I thought of running that illegal gambling operation. And I questioned my relationship with God. I said, man, I don't need God. I made this money. I had, as a matter of fact, made millions of dollars through the gambling operation. And God had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
And even took a spiritual retreat by myself to Hawaii for a couple of weeks and just basically asked myself these questions. And then I came up with the result that basically I didn't believe in God. And part of that was I felt guilty. Mm-hmm. I knew that what I was doing wasn't the right thing to be doing from the drug selling and the gambling operation. And my guilt, or the devil, yeah, basically told me, hey, you know, that you don't need God. There is no God. You're making this money. You see how this money's coming to you. And God had absolutely nothing to do with this. Well, fast forwarding to the real life, get arrested for the illegal gambling, and actually had a child. She was 4 months old when I self-surrendered to go to prison.
Wow.
Yeah, so even until that point, I still was like, hey, I got this. Man, this, I'm going to get out of here and keep doing the same thing. Well, after I'd been in prison and fortunate enough to go to a camp that wasn't, you know, crazy and,
right,
you know, no one was looking to start a fight or, you know, be intimidating.
Yeah.
It was not a hardcore prison, just to keep it real.
Right.
So there for literally 3 days. They had tennis courts there. I went out to play tennis and within 10 minutes tore my Achilles.
Really?
Prison, 3 days. Guys, I don't know. And then I get to this prison. I'm going, oh man, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'll learn how to be a great tennis player by the time I get out here. Tore my Achilles. So at that point, I go, okay, God, I'm listening.
Mm.
And literally the night that I tore my Achilles, me and God had an argument. And one of the things he said was, if it weren't for me, you would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he flashed back in all the times that when I was running this illegal gambling operation or doing the illegal activities, the times that I was almost killed. There are people, yeah, used to literally try to rob us at gunpoint. Wow. And bullets fired and, you know, not a scratch on my body.
Mm.
And that happened more than once. I mean, it happened several times. And so that was when I regained my relationship with God and decided to... it's time to make a change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's God done in your life since then, man? Like, talk to him about, like, just the change that you've seen in you.
Before, material things were my sole goal. You know, I wanted to have a lot of stuff. You know, I wanted big, shiny things. And God maybe helped me to realize that the priorities in life are things that you cannot buy. Mm-hmm. Love,
yeah,
loyalty,
yeah,
family, you know, yeah, what I mean? And so he made me realize that I have two beautiful treasures that he's blessed me with, them, who are my daughters,
mm-hmm,
and how they feel and think about me,
yeah,
are important. And leaving a legacy of them, not of things, but, yeah, of doing the right thing, mm-hmm, helping your brother out. And so... it's my mission in coming home is to help inner city kids that grow up seeing these guys that have the big cars and the jewelry and all this fast life, to understand that delayed gratification is so much better.
Mm.
Learning a skill,
yeah,
and paying your dues, mm, and knowing that if you do that, you'll be able to keep it.
Yeah.
Getting these things, you know, today. Meaning that the best case scenario is maybe you end up in prison like myself, mm-hmm, but a lot of these kids end up dead, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so, and then thinking about not just yourself, but your kids,
yeah,
your family, and what you're taking them through if you go to prison,
right,
when they are looking over you, mm-hmm, and praying for you as they're burying you,
yeah,
and how you're affecting others in that scenario.
You know, Marcus, when we met for the first time, it was obvious that you had found that identity and peace and strength. I mean, it was obvious in the joy that you show and the centeredness that God has given you and his peace in your life. And so I've been encouraged just knowing you're walking with the Lord and growing in the Lord and trying to figure this thing out. You know, right. We all come from more confusing spiritual backgrounds sometimes. And we've kind of got, okay, what was Bible and what was just how my family was? What really is the gospel? And that's what I've loved about our relationship as we're kind of just pursuing together this real understanding of the gospel. But every time, man, I'm blown away by just your love for the community there in East Knoxville. I mean, your shop could be anywhere, and it's there in East Knoxville. So talk to us for a minute about, like, I mean, it's obvious you feel called to be there. What is it, you mentioned it just a second ago, that kind of keeps you there, keeps you doing what you're doing to make a difference in the community, and how you're trying to give back and be so involved?
I would start with, and I didn't choose my building. My building chose me, and I honestly believe it was a godsend.
Yeah.
I was actually living in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and some guys that printed T-shirts for me here in Knoxville said, "Man, you got to check out this mm-hmm. building."
Yeah.
And I was back and forth from LA to Knoxville, and I did. And I started in the basement, 3,000 square foot of space they rented to me, and this was 10 years ago. So Downtown Knoxville was horrible. I mean, it really was. It was on the verge of being cool and a little safer and things growing, but it really was. It was a horrible place. My building was a dump. Mm-hmm. So I moved in, cleaned it out, $500 a month for rent, which is crazy, right? 3,000 square foot of space.
Yeah.
And turned it into a space that people started to come to. I mean, and that was the intention. We were just doing e-commerce and small production in the space at the time, but people started coming and actually purchasing jeans at the location. And then the guys that owned the building asked, would I be interested in buying it? And another guy saying is yes.
Yeah.
And so I took the building, cleaned it up, cleared it out. But I was literally raised just three blocks from my building.
Wow.
So it, you know, my building, you know, found me. I didn't find a building. And I do truly believe that was a godsend. My great grandparents who raised me, and I went to Green Elementary, which was at the top of the hill, just mm-hmm. not even a mile away, maybe quarter mile away, that I can see it from my building.
Yeah.
So I feel like, again, making a staple in the East Knoxville community as a black man, mm-hmm. And giving kids and other community members, you know, a vision or, you know, just something to look like, man, this guy's doing it, and he's got a business that's thriving, and he's Knoxville, and wow, maybe I can do the same thing. So that's the goal.
Man, I think that's so good. Not just to say, hey, you need to do better, but let me show you the way to
better. You got it.
And I know your grandfather was super influential in you and in this company that you've begun. So talk about just that family legacy.
So my grandfather, C.L. Nelson, my name is Mark, George Marcus Hall. My mother calls me Mark. That's where the Mark from Mark Nelson came from.
Yeah.
But my great grandfather, C.L. Nelson, is where the Nelson comes from. And he was just a rock. I mean, he was that guy. He was a janitor actually at TVA.
Yeah.
But if you saw him, you would have thought this guy is the mayor. I mean, he wore a suit to work.
Yeah.
And so imagine that, wearing a suit to clean up. But he told me and my brothers, no matter who you are, and I say this all the time, whether you're the mayor or a janitor, you always want to leave the house looking like somebody.
Yeah.
And so that was my inspiration to start the clothing. I mean, I've always wanted to look and help people look good, and whether it was cutting their hair or now it's out, you know, styling them.
Man, I tell you, you are, Marcus, just an inspiring story. And one of the things that we believe God's calling us to in our church and everything we do is to inspire people to follow Jesus. And man, I just tell you, I'm so thankful for the way you're doing that, you know, in East Knoxville. For how you're working on it every day and just staying in the grind of it all, you know, time and time again. So last question for me, and this will be the more difficult question of the day, for I think maybe, but let's see.
Right?
I'm trying to set it up.
Come on.
No, you got this. Talk to me about when it's all said and done, right? Marcus has lived the life that God has allowed him to live. What do you hope, like, what's the legacy? What are you trying to build? What are you trying to leave?
Oh,
how do you want to be remembered?
For, again, if I could save someone else's life, that's what it is, man. I know there's a lot of guys and kids like me growing up that just don't have somebody they can trust.
Yeah.
and the people that come to them that they end up trusting don't have good intentions for them. So if I could leave a legacy where I could get young men, young women to come to me and say, man, I need a job, yeah, or I just need someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I could be that person that goes, look, man, I know this looks good right now for the temporary, yeah, but please believe me, it's not going to last, brother. Yeah. And doing it the right way and following God and Jesus. And there are some people that you can count on that, I mean, if it's food you need or whatever, it may not be, you know, a brand new car, but I mean, eventually you'll be able to get that on your own. So if I could help some kids, yeah, to make that decision and just make the right turn instead of the left turn, brother, that's what I would love to be known for. That wasn't that hard, man. That's what I'm doing. I appreciate that though. But no, yeah, that's what it's about, man.
That's right, man.
And understanding it is a daily grind, man. It's, yeah, not like you're gonna wake up one day and, yeah, everything's gonna be okay. You just gotta know that, yeah, yeah, you just keep on keeping on, man, and making the right decision. We all make bad decisions. Yeah. I still struggle with it. I mean, every day I go, it'd be a whole lot easier if, mm-hmm, I did this. But I know, man, that the outcome is in, you know, yeah, following the right path.
Well, man, I'm excited about what God's doing in your life. I'm excited about what you're doing, how you're using those gifts.
Right on.
And, man, I'm just thankful that God allowed us to be friends.
Hey, listen, and you too, man. And I can't say enough, and I'm saying this, I'm giving you a plug now.
Uh-oh.
You have been to East Knoxville, and you actually are on the grind with me, man. You're helping me and helping others, man. And I just want to acknowledge you and tell you thank you, brother. It means a lot because you don't have to do it.
Man, you know how sometimes you just kind of back your way into a genuine friendship.
Right on.
And I feel like that happened to us.
Right
and
on.
So, man, I'm thankful for you.
Right on.
So, well, thanks for being here today. Love your story. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for having me, brother.
All right.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for The Stretch with Dr. John Mark Harrison. For more information and for Sunday service times, check us out at concordonline.org. Please subscribe to this podcast, rate and review it, and share it with your friends. Again, thanks for listening.